Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
Look, I'm really excited to share with you today really the heart, where we're going, what we're trying to do as a church. I think it's important to stop in the midst of, or really the beginning of the year, to sort of go, what's the focus? Really, the vision of our church hasn't changed over time, but it's more about what's the heart, what's the emphasis that the Holy Spirit wants to put on our life and every ministry that we're doing as a church. So I thought I'd go old school. So 15 years ago next week, we started our first service. That was our logo. That was the place that we met, where God did an incredible miracle. We were able to meet there for 7 years, and part of that was rent-free. It was just incredible. There's so many great stories and so many great moments where we had experienced God's presence in that place. But God spoke to us in 2007 and said to pioneer a church, and then it took us a couple more years to summon the courage to go, all right, let's give this a go. Because we were enjoying what we were doing. We loved the church we were part of. We were involved in leadership and ministry and doing those, all that we needed to do. And then we felt God's like, okay, I think you need to start a church in this part of Sydney. Why? There's lots of other churches. There's lots of other great churches doing incredible things. But we thought God wants to use us and the flavor and the style that we would do church to reach people far from Jesus, to raise up a generation and the generations that would follow to follow Jesus and to be impacted by him. So we go to the next slide. We wanted to see people come to faith in Jesus. And so part of our heart was to see generations of people come to know Jesus, generations of disciples. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But really, how would we do that? Do you want to join me at any point? Yeah, we'll see how this goes this morning. We're going to preach together. And so we've practiced many times. And so you'll see it, just the seamless transitions over each point.
Into the bunny, and I just spoke into my phone instead. That's a good start.
Yeah, what?
I have permission to butt in.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I just can't hear you. That's all right. So that's normal. That's my life. That's okay. Really, what we wanted to do was just to get remind you of, like, how do we do this? And we had four phrases that were over the life of our church: faith, freedom, fulfillment, future. They're up there. They're in the foyer. And we just wanted to share quickly about this, and then what does that look like this year? And part of it was faith, that we would see people step out in faith, cross into the promised land that God has for them, that we would primarily see people come to faith in Jesus. And I remember when we first started, you know how many people got, I'd do an altar call. It was like, it was amazing, and nobody responded. Okay. Feel sorry for me at the moment. And then you know what happened? We would have morning tea, and then someone would come and say, so what do you think of the message? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? And they say, yes. And I'm like, that's ripped off, because I did all the hard work. I need you to put your hand up. And then, you know, I see that hand, I see that hand. One time I just did it for fun. I see that hand, I see that hand. Everyone's like, oh, wow, it's awesome. And yeah. And I said, imagine that was your work colleague. Imagine that was one sermon. But really, that was a heart, faith. And then we want to see freedom. You can jump in at any point. Which, pick anyone you want.
Freedom was all about seeing people, you know, we based these four F's out of the book of Joshua, where he led the people into the promised land. And it was a place of freedom. So they'd known slavery, and they crossed over into this promised land, and it was all new to them to live in a place where, oh, they had to, you know, make their meals, cook things, find their fruit and vegetables, do whatever it was that they needed to do. That they needed to leave the past behind. And sometimes we can find ourselves in a new place, but wishing for the old. And often that was the case, as we know, with the Israelites. And coming into a place of freedom is coming alongside each other and helping disciple one another in faith to understand what it is to be a Christian, to live a life where you can have that exchange, like Debbie was saying. I know I keep referring to that, but that's part of the gospel, is go, well, how do I live in this new land, this promised land, now that I'm free? How do I live in a place of freedom? How do I live as a Christian in my world? And so freedom, I love that word. It has a great meaning for us. It's also about what we can do. We offer a freedom course throughout the year as well. We train people in how to, you know, just leave that past and that baggage behind and step into everything God's got. But just on our, you know, prayer times, there's a place of freedom. There's a place of freedom in worship. There's a place of you experiencing freedom when you join a connect group. There's a place of freedom in conversation when you're relating to people over coffee and they're encouraging you. And it might just unlock something for you. So that's our heart around the word of freedom.
And so faith, freedom, fulfillment. So did you know, by serving other people, that is the greatest sense of satisfaction. They worked it out, actually by psychological measures, all that type of stuff, that you find the greatest satisfaction in your life, not by what you accumulate, but by how you can serve other people. And so part of that is we wanting to find fulfillment in community. That's why we're having a lunch after, meet people and find fulfillment. But you also find fulfillment in serving other people and finding the fit, the way that God has you wired, what you can do. Because we're all different. And so you might be creative. I appreciate creativity. You'd be really handy. I appreciate people being handy. You know, you might be whatever it is, but God has a space and a place for you to serve, not just his church, but the world. And I think what we do with Changemakers and all of the other ministries that we have as a church is an incredible way for us to serve and show forth the workmanship that we are as Christ Jesus, that he's prepared that we should walk into. So Ephesians 2:10.
And our growth track is the place that you can discover your purpose, so to speak, and help each other on the journey, find what it is that God's really uniquely gifted you for. And Harley and EJ are looking after the growth track. Just to listen out in the next coming month or so for when that's going to be on, and you can find out what God's uniquely called you to.
And so future really was the last thing, and this is where I want to kick it off from, because we can't just live for ourselves. There has to be some element that we need to look forward to the people that will come after us, the generations. I think one part, we need to live with eternity in mind. That one day, the text that I love, that I live by, is, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to see Jesus and I want to hear that. That's how I live my life. That's all that matters. So everything for me fits through that. And so I live like that. We do our life, we do family, hopefully we do church like that. And that's really what I want to what got me thinking after, well, because we want to see the next generation or the generations to come.
Joshua, as he walked through, he was told to collect the rocks, if you remember the story, as a memorial of what God had done, so that he could continue to pass that on to the next generation. And what we do as a church, we want to make sure that the generations coming after us, not just in age, those that are new to faith of all ages, understand the goodness of God.
So we've been doing this for about 15 years. And we've seen some great times. We've had some challenging times. We've had some boring times. We've had some times that have been absolutely awe-inspiring, all different things. And I think after all the challenges that we went through with the lockdown and all the different things, it really got us thinking, what are we actually doing as a church? It got a whole bunch of churches thinking, what are we actually trying to do? Because when we got back to in the building, when we could do what we could do, it wasn't the same. Go to any church, they will all tell you, not just our church, every church will tell you it's not the same. It's not the same at all. Because we had this great shaking and it caused us to understand, well, what are we actually trying to do? And for me, I was devastated that a whole bunch of people didn't come back to church. After that, I got over the fact that it wasn't about me. I realized that, wow, what's really happening? What are we actually doing here? Because I'd been faithfully preaching, teaching for years. We did all these courses. We did all these, we had these great ministries, doing all this stuff, thinking, what am I actually trying to do? If at the end of the day, people are no longer there. And I know there are people watching online because you texted me this morning so it wasn't working. But there's a part of that side I understand. I appreciate that. But that's not what, like, at the end of the day, I'm looking around and going, what are we actually trying to do? And it became, really, we went on this journey of what is it to make disciples of Jesus? What is it that we could actually have generations of disciples? And what would that take? What would that look like? And if I could just can I steal people for a moment? Kate, I know you're going to hate me for this, but if you could just stand up and... Of all the people, hey, you love drama. You study drama at school, and you're my family, so you're going to go. If you just come forward here, Kate is expecting, in case you didn't realize, and she did a lot of work. This is nothing to do with the moment, but she does an incredible amount of work for church. Can we just give her a round of applause? Because she does a whole bunch of stuff. But Kate is super excited about Theophilus, her newborn, which will be. I've just named him by faith. Whatever name it is, George. Nick Jr. I think that would be better. So Nick Jr. is going to be coming very soon. And they're thinking and dreaming and planning and everything is going to be around Nick Jr. And that's awesome. But what we also need to do is start to think of the next generation, what biologically, but if we can just move away from the family idea, Hamish, could you come just because you're on the stage as well? So like, and you've already been on the stage. Imagine Kate spends time and disciples, and Hamish gives his life to Jesus. All right, fantastic. We see him on the stage. He's playing guitar and singing away. Awesome, fantastic. And she said, it takes a lot of effort to get someone to say yes to follow Jesus and to disciple them. And yeah, that's woo, fantastic. And I think as a church, that's what we do. We go, that's important. Go into all the world and make disciples of Jesus. Matthew 28, that's what Jesus said. And we should do that. But I wonder, Maddie, if you could come. I want you to come down here. What Kate needs to think about is not just Hamish, but Maddie, because Hamish knows Maddie and witnesses to her. She follows Jesus and becomes a disciple of Jesus, and it's incredible, and she serves and does all the whatever else, but she comes to follow Jesus. Here's the thing. As a normal Christian, we think this. We do. We go, I'm working hard, I'm doing this, and I want to win this person for Jesus. I want to see them follow Jesus. But I want us to lift our vision to see generations of disciples, that it's not just about Hamish, because he's awesome. We love him and he's incredible. But it's about Maddie and the person that comes after Maddie and the next person that comes after. It's the generations of disciples that we need to do. That's what we need to see of our church. And right now, you're all looking at Kate going, are you kidding? Because that's what you're doing. I've got no time. I'm busy. Thank you all. Thank you all very much. Thank you so much. I think you say, and I understand it, we are busy. We're commuting. We're working. We're trying to make ends meet. We're studying as well. And we're doing all of these things. I understand all of that. I understand all of that. That's the challenge that we have. We need family time. We need me time. We need date night. We need to drop the kids at this place and go to that place. We need to do all of these things. We've got a very, 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 very full schedule. And yet, I want to challenge you. As the pastors of this church, we want to challenge you and encourage you to see beyond just this. To see generations of disciples. And I think that's the And I understand, you might even say, look, I've been hurt by church, I've been a part of a church, I was hurt by a church, a leader did this. I understand all of that, and I don't condone that, and I don't celebrate that. I'm sorry for that. But Jesus' mission still comes at you. Go into all the world and make disciples of everyone. But I think they're just reasons that we say, because I think we don't know how to make disciples. That's what I really think. Because it sounds really weird. It sounds like come and do a class. Or it really works for televangelists that sit on planes and people give their life to Jesus. And no one else does. And we just like, I don't do that. That's not me. Well, that's the pastor's job, but that's someone else. But Jesus said to everyone, go and make disciples. So we were praying about it. We've been on a journey as the leader team looking at disciples. Do you want to say your...
I was just going to sort of unpack that a little bit more. Often we think, we're called to make disciples and we'll go after the ones and the twos. But we've been challenged that it's actually teaching people to be disciple makers themselves, where they then are equipped to be able to see generations of disciples through them. So there's a culture shift that's happening in our hearts and minds where it's not just, I've got to get out there, I've got to tell people because that's the Great Commission. It's how can I share with others in order for them to be able to reproduce someone who loves Jesus as well.
And so we prayed about it. Lord, what do you want to say? What's a phrase? What's a strategy? And really, that's what we've been talking about. So we go to the next slide. It's making room. It's making room in your life. That no matter what, make room in your heart to love every believer and to show hospitality to strangers. We want to make room in our hearts for other people. We want to make room in our life for the strangers. Show hospitality to strangers. We want to make room in our heart for God. Really, that's the primary part, where it comes from. And I'll talk more about that later. But I think for me, there are some people that made room. My aunt and uncle, our family had some challenging moments. And they flew from New Zealand to Australia and made room in their budget, made room in their time, in their schedule. It wasn't probably convenient. But they came and they ministered to us. We as a family all became Christians, followed Jesus, and they stayed with us for about 2 weeks or something like that, and discipled us and went through the scriptures because we knew nothing. But we had no idea. We went to a religious school, but it was very different to our experience. I think the first time I came to youth, there was a guy called James. And we turned up to a church. We didn't know anybody. We had made a decision at home, turned up to what we thought, this is a church, this is what you should do. We turned up to church. I know nothing. I know nobody. It's a big place like this. I walked in and I'm like, where can I go and hide? Just start the thing because I don't want to talk to anybody. James turned around and said, how are you? Because they did this really awkward thing. Hey, after, the first song, turn around and meet somebody, say hello. And I'm like, oh. And then we didn't have phones in those ages. Because you're like, what do you do? You're like, oh, look at the Bible verse, do something. This guy James turned around and said, hey, what's your name? I said, Luke. He goes, you're in the Bible too. Oh, this is awesome. I remember the conversation because all I could think of was, I don't want to be here. I do want to be here, but I don't want to be here. And he made me feel amazing. He made room in his life. It wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal for me. I want to challenge us to make room in our hearts, in our lives for other people that will be catalytic for them. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big conversation for him, but it changed my life. I was like, I'm coming back to that youth group because this guy just made me feel amazing. There's so many other people that why don't you tell your stories?
Yeah, I kind of was writing down a list of people that have made room for me because, you always think about the opposite, don't you? Oh, I've made room for others. But when did people make room for me and how did I feel when that happened? I thought of lots of mentors in my life that, mentors back in that day didn't get paid. We used to ask them if we could come into their family of an evening and just hang out like you want someone midweek to do that, but they would open up their home, they would share their life and their stories with us, and we, as a couple, were able to be mentored in just our life as leaders and what that looked like. So we were grateful for them. You know, the worship team has also been someone that's really blessed me over the years. They've made room. You know, the worship team get here about an hour or so earlier than everyone else. They make room in their life. You know, it's a big commitment if you're on the worship team to get there an hour early. But because of them making room, I've been able to connect with the presence of God. You know, I think of youth leaders, kids ministry leaders who have allowed me to, you know, in the last 15 years enabled me to be able to do this kind of a role. But back in the day, you know, kids leaders that have just been able to bless parents as they teach their kids to love Jesus. You know, I had this experience a few months ago where this lady in queue at Aldi who loves shopping at Aldi. Yeah, it's a little bit stressful at times, isn't it, when you get to the end? Used to be anyway. Now I'm used to it. She looked at me, and you know when you both go at the same time to get into the queue, and normally I would say, off you go. But I was running really, you know, busy, and I'm like, I'm just going to pretend I didn't see, and I'm just going to go in and get into queue. So anyway, I've got this massive trolley with our family, and I start unpacking it. And she looked at me and she said, I want to help you. And she, I got in tears because I felt so convicted. She helped me unpack my entire trolley onto the conveyor belt, which probably helped her in a way too, but she was blessing me. I got to the other end and, you know, when they put it all back in, she helped me put it all back in as well. And I, by this stage, I'm like, I could barely speak because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is such a blessing. I didn't feel like packing up all this washing, not washing, shopping. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. The shopping. And as I started to push the trolley out, you know, it's a big trolley. She comes out to me in the car park. She had a small load and she goes, let me help you put it in your car. I'm like, what? You made room. By that stage, I was too uncomfortable. I said, oh, it's okay. I'm fine. I don't need. But what a blessing it was to have somebody make room just in such a simple, kind way.
I think if we're going to make disciples, like we're asking you to think about one person. And as it, we've been thinking about this over the last 18 months, going, because I think, and can we be really honest, we don't have this together. I'll be the first to tell you, we don't have this together at all. But I'm encouraging you to think about making room in your life to help somebody come to faith in Jesus, to disciple even someone towards faith. And I think we've been trying to do this. So Catherine's going to tell some stories about what we've tried to do and realize that we're not at the end. We don't have, here it is, but here's some humble beginnings of some stuff that we're trying to do.
Sometimes just even thinking it makes you a bit afraid. What would I say? What would I do to share faith or tell someone about God? You know, what Luke and I did at the beginning of last year was to schedule it into our timetable. I know I have a timetable for my life, and I scheduled that we would intentionally think about other people that weren't Christians and how we could become friends. So what in our life, and we'll devote 2 hours a week to doing that. And I'm like, oh, that means I'm going to have to join something or do something more. And I'm like, I don't really have time to do more. So I started to intentionally think about how in my life, where are the space and how could I just keep doing what I'm already doing and include others. And so I decided to be predictably present. And that happens to be doing the same jogging route. You've heard me talk about running. I got a PB. I cracked 30 minutes yesterday. Sorry, that's my little excitement. My brother cheered me on. He's also into jogging. But predictably present along the path. And so instead of going on different routes, I go the same way. And over the course of time, I'm thinking, well, I'm jogging. I don't want to get held up in conversation to talk to people, but you see the same people all the time. And after about the third time that you've smiled and nodded, and especially because I go back and forth, So sometimes I see people three times on the path. It's like, hi, have a great day. Hi. And I'm like, there's like, what good is this? You know, I'm like, I can't really, this isn't me doing anything for the kingdom of God. And the third thing that we decided to be was learn how to be authentically curious. So ask people questions instead of just, you know, nodding, to actually keep the conversation going. So there's a few things. And just one of the ladies that I began smiling at over, you know, 9 months, her name is Sheila, and she was often walking out on the same route. And I didn't know anything about Sheila. It was just a nod and a wave and a smile politely. And been doing this for about 9 or 10 months, seeing her three times a week on the path, smiling, and not, maybe I might have stopped once or twice. And I felt in about October last year, well, what are you going to do about with all the people that are smiling at you? They might be people of peace. They obviously like you if they smile back. So I'm like, And I had this random thought, which I tried to squash for many months. What if I just invited these random strangers that I smile to my house for a meal for Christmas? And so every time I jog, I'd think, I could invite these people. And I'm like, so I did this for about 6 weeks, and it finally came to Christmas, and I went, okay, I'm going to do it. And it rained that whole week, so I couldn't get out to invite anyone. So I made little invitations, and I jogged past people, and I smiled, and I said, love you to come to a random stranger's house for a party. And jogged past going, that was really awkward. Anyway, I had 7 strangers in our home on the 23rd of December who I'd smiled and waved at, I'd gotten to know, and, well, I'd gotten to know through a smile, and we got to share meals with them, and there's unfolding relationship with each of those stories. And after I'd done that particular meal, we bumped into Sheila again. We were walking this time, and her husband wasn't with her this particular time. And she said, I said, oh, she goes, we had such a great night the other night. And I said, oh, great. I'm so glad you did. She goes, and my husband, he normally hates meeting strangers or doing anything like that. And he actually enjoyed it too. And she goes, I said, yeah, it was a really big thing for you to go to a random stranger's house. Like, that's pretty huge. And she said, yeah, but you know what? She said, last year, I was going through a struggle with cancer. And every time you smiled on the path, it was hard for me to get outside, let alone walking. And she said, your smile would light up my world. Every time I'd see you, I think I'm valuable in this community and I belong here. And it blessed my heart. She said, so I wanted to know some more. Smile unlocked a door, and yeah, they invite us over for a swim. So now we're all mates now. It's making room with the smallest of things. I had no idea what she was going through, and that's just unlocked. And so many more stories. I'm not going to tell you those. Save them for another day.
Yeah, I think that what we're trying to say is that we'd really radically change our schedule, but we just sort of like, what if we make room? What if we just had the idea of making room to disciple somebody to faith? And so one of the things that we would love you to do, so on your on the floor, the people on the aisles, because you have the extra leg room and paid the upgraded ticket price, if you want to grab a piece of paper and pass it along, there's some pens there. What we want you to do is just think about it. You don't need to fill it in at the moment. But if we go to the next slide, I think we've got a picture of it.
You can turn it over. There's some things to fill in.
Yeah, so it's got a picture and whatever else. And if you don't have one,
there should be plenty.
There's plenty on the ground and stuff. So if you don't, everyone maybe at the back where the people that came super early were. This is some spot. If someone could just go around and pass them to those. If you don't have one, could you just raise your hand so we can give you one? Everyone's got one? All right, go for it. If Harley's got some extra, do you want to just wave your hand? Do you want to quickly run through it? It's on the screen behind it.
I can't read it. So for me, it was about asking where will I spend more time? And you know, for some of us, that might be in our schedule. It might be putting things back on the schedule.
Don't write it in right now. Don't write it in. Just think about it. Because some of you are like, oh, we're the test. I'm going through the path. We're designing to make
it. So kind of as we're going through the next little bit, just to start to allow the Holy Spirit to let you remind you or bring to mind, who will I include? Who will I include and make room for in my life this year? There's so many opportunities from random strangers to people already in our life to really connect with. And who and what will I pray for? So there's some of the things. So along with us making an intentional decision to put it on our schedule, we also made an intentional decision to pray.
Right.
To pray that God would bring people of peace into our world and we'd be able to recognize who they were.
I think that's what we're going to talk about over the next period of time. But I think if we can teach and explain and encourage how to do discipleship, which isn't a class and isn't just learning, it's actually how do we do this? Because we need to go into all the world, but that's ridiculously difficult. But it is on purpose. But God wants to do something. God's at work. I want to share a scripture. And so really want you to hold on to that, fill that out as I'm talking through this next thing, and take it home, put it in your Bible, put it somewhere where you're going to remember to go, hey, what do we actually do? Because I think unless you pray about it, it's just hard work. But if you're, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me to these people, it's easier. It's easier. And I want to share one scripture. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. For me, this is a great representation of what we are trying to do by making disciples. In this story, God is the woman kneading through the stuff. You and I, as followers of Jesus, are the yeast. The flour is the world. What you need to see is God is taking you as a little bit of yeast there. Hold that up. And he wants to use you to change the world, to bring more people to follow Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. And you all understand how this works because you go, you take a little bit of yeast. If you've done enough food tech or anything else or watched enough TikToks, you can understand how this actually works. You put it into the flour, you get a bit of warm water, and it works. Amazing. It never turns out like the videos, but it looks good, right? And that's how it works. And you go, oh, that's simple. That's what Jesus knows. Is that you and I, what you don't understand, the 60 pounds is 27 kilograms. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 27 kilograms of flour. That's how you feel. You come into your workplace and you go, are you kidding? You just told me I need to go and make disciples. Have you seen my workplace? They don't love Jesus at all. They're openly this, they hate that, they're all this type of stuff, and you want me to get into that, and you're kidding yourself. I know. Here's the thing. You're not mixing. You need to see that the Father is actually at work in your environment. That he's taking you and using you into some disproportionate amount of environment that is like, what is going to happen? What Jesus knows is if we just have the right environment, so if we have the warm water, which for me is the word of God, if we have something in our life and we put into this is about a kilogram. There's 27 more of this and there's a little bit of yeast that goes into work and it's going to produce many, 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 many loaves. I think what you need to see, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. And the other thing that I see in this, it's all very, very hidden. to make disciples and to make generations of disciples, we just want to buy the loaf. I just want the loaf. Where can I buy the loaf? I don't want to do the process. Just give me the loaf. It has to be this and that and whatever else, even cut. That would be great. That's what I want. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is taking the raw ingredients, working it through, God working through you over time. Here's the challenge in an age, and I think this is one of the reasons why people left church en masse, is that it's, the next thing just it doesn't happen quickly enough. When you do this, if we were to take this yeast and get warm water and put it in and wait, some of you will go home. You're like, what's that? It takes forever. But God's at work. Sometimes God's at work slowly, painfully slowly. But he's at work nonetheless. And that's what we need to encourage ourselves, that you're doing a journey with the person you work with, you live next door to, it might be someone you're married to, your family, that you are building and trying to get them to disciple toward faith in Jesus. It's slower than you think. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Because the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that the woman took and mixed through about 27 kilograms of flour. It's crazy. It's going to work. Just needs time. It needs to. And here's the thing. The last part is that as the team come this morning, is that you don't need to change your environment. I think that's what I'm beginning to appreciate, that God wants to use you. God wants you to make room in his life, in your life for other people and to do things for him. But he doesn't need you to write, well, that's it. I feel guilty. I'm going to quit this, go there, do this. No, no, no. God wants to use you as you are, where you are.
Yeah.
Where you are. God can use you. What you need to see yourself is that you're being planted, pushed. God's at work mixing you around and around and around and around in your environment. Ultimately, we're going to get to the next generation because this will just continue to grow. So, in the job that you're in, in the family that you're in the friendship group you're in the club that you're in the places and the spaces that you go, you are bringing kingdom change. You're seeing the vision of what we want to see outworked. Just keep doing it. Keep making room. Keep making room. Just keep making room. Just like, this is God's at work. God's at work in this situation. One of the things that Catherine didn't tell you is that one of the people that we invited around, you were having a conversation and they work out what we do and whatever else. And Catherine's like, you shouldn't tell them you're a pastor. I'm like, okay, I'll tell them something different next time. We're a magician. See about that. But the whole idea, we're having conversations and one of the girls, she's like, would you like to read the Bible with me? Like, that's really that's the game changer. The Word of God is powerful. If we can get that and read, and people can read it with us, it's going to be a game changer. She hasn't said yes yet. Just waiting. But we know that God's at work. So I want to encourage you today to see yourself like this little bit of yeast. You might be all dried up like the one in that packet. You just need to be in his presence. For us, it comes back to what we were singing and praying about at the beginning, that we would make room for Jesus in our life, that we would be soft and tender in our heart, that we can come into his presence and God, change me, do something with me, because that's where it starts. We're not going to go and make room for other people if you're not making room for God and go, Lord, I just love you, I need you, I want to spend time in your presence. So I thought it'd be great we'd sing. She needs her microphone back. We're going to sing, and I'll make room for you. But I think if you could take that card, in a moment I want to pray over it. Maybe you've never thought about, well, I've never even thought about anybody else and prayed about anybody else. That's okay. I'm not going to tick this off and, okay, let's see how you've done in 3 weeks' time, because I realize that the yeast takes time to work through this thing. It might even just take you 3 months to work out the fact that God wants to use me where I'm at. And I've never seen any possibility because my workplace is so far from God. But I'm telling you, in your workplace that seems so far from God, God has planted you and he's using you, and you're going to change that environment. It may not be an instant loaf tomorrow, but I'm telling you, he's at work in your life. And so you have maybe haven't filled out all that stuff. That's okay. I want you to take that home and about into whatever else, but we're going to stand and we're going to worship him and we're going to just declare that I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. So why don't we stand this morning?
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.